Next Step number 712, January 27th, 2022.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Yes, the next step. We used to take steps. There's going to be a time where people are going to say they used to travel by taking steps. Well, you know, so much has changed, right? Yeah, we travel now by sitting on wheels, by flying, but actually you can now travel without doing anything. Just sit where you are. You remember the old Beatles song?
Arrive without traveling. See all without looking. Do all without doing.
Yeah, the farther one travels, you know, you can travel without going out of your space. Well, wherever you may be today, I hope you're in a good place because we're going to be traveling. We're going to be traveling to San Diego, and that's a little bit south of Los Angeles. Beautiful, beautiful area. Used to be. I haven't been there in a long time. As kids, we used to vacation there during the summer. We'd go for a week or two or a few days at the very least. I can't remember. I think it was a few days. I don't remember really long-term vacations. But yeah, probably it was probably a good chunk of the week maybe. And we'd go to San Diego and my dad would get this cool place. It was cool because it was by the beach and it had glass elevators. That's what I remember about it. It was probably a two-story motel. I don't think it was. It wasn't a high-rise. Definitely wasn't. It was like a two-story, maybe possibly three-story, but it had glass elevators. We used to love riding in those things because you'd see and get to see outside and people moving and everything. But San Diego, La Jolla specifically, beautiful, beautiful area. It was the first time that I got to surf ride. If you haven't done that, that is just really one of those fun things that even until now, I just take that memory with me. It was like these inflatable little cushions, and you'd sit on the surf as the tides would come in. You'd sit on those waves, and it would just bring you in so much fun. And what was cool about this place, La Jolla, was that you could actually walk out. You could walk out a good, I would say a good 100, 200 feet out and before it got deep. So you could go out there and catch those waves as they came in. So a lot of beautiful memories from this area. And we're heading out there this weekend. And it occurred to me, we're heading out in multiple ways then now, right? You could drive down there, but you can also watch. And that's actually what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be the guy that you're going to be watching. There's going to be a new church consecrated. And I made a video about consecration, several months ago. And we just put it up online because of the consecration of this church, sort of like a primer to what consecration is all about. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about that because what we're going to be doing, I'm going to be broadcasting for 3 days, a 3-day service to change this inanimate building. And you say, wait a minute, aren't all buildings inanimate? No, they're not. We're going to be changing this structure of stone into a living temple of God. And it's kind of an interesting transformation, and I thought I'd talk a little bit more in depth on that with you today. So what I'm going to be doing is we're going to be streaming that, and you're going to be able to watch that stream definitely on today's show notes. There'll be a link to it. It'll be on the Western Diocese Facebook page. And no worries, you don't need a Facebook account to watch it. It's just a video, but it's 3 days. And what I'm going to be doing is actually a commentary, a narration that goes alongside the visuals that you'll be seeing. So I'm really going to ask you to follow along. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It doesn't happen often. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime event, thankfully. It happens every so often. It's like a solar eclipse. It's not a lunar eclipse that are more often. This is like a solar eclipse. You know, every so often there'll be one that you can participate in. How's that? I think there's a solar eclipse every year or 2 years, but you can't participate in it because it's in some weird place, or it's over the ocean because, like, what, 3/4 of our planet is water. So chances are that that eclipse is going to be over an ocean. In this case, you're going to get to be there for a consecration. Doesn't happen often. And this time we're making every effort to not only broadcast it to you, but also to give a commentary on top of it. So I hope you take advantage of it. We're looking forward to doing this and being in San Diego. Not really sure how it's all going to work, but it will work. Take my word for it. So Friday, we have the opening ceremony, which actually includes a bit of the opening of the doors. You may be familiar with this. That's celebrated on Palm Sunday in the church calendar. It's called Terung Patsek, opening of the portals. And literally, we knock on the door. Patsmezder, open to us the door. Very beautiful prayers that go along with it during the actual service of Terung Patsek, including this little proclamation of what the church is. A place where our sins are forgiven. A place where the faithful come together. A place where the angels hover. It's very, very beautiful. The actual, the words of the prayer. The words that are proclaimed. So during the service on Friday, we actually begin the process of consecration. And more than the details today, I'd like to talk to you about the concepts, because I'll ask you to follow along on the links that we're providing, and you can watch it even if you can't make it at the designated times. It will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I know we've got audiences that are in different places, and the times that we have are middle of the night for you. That's okay. What's cool about it, it'll be preserved. It'll be there as a file, and you can watch it later. But I'll ask you to watch those, and you'll get the details. You'll get the flavor of it. It'll be beautiful. But what I'd like to do today in this next step is talk about the concepts behind it. What does it mean when you take a structure and you change it into a church? What is the power that we have? What are the resources that we have that change this? And I want to start off by talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. I think this is one of those things we've touched on many times, and we will probably always touch on, because when you talk about Holy Trinity, you've got the Father, which you can understand basically, whether you've had a father in your life who was very prominent, whether you had a father who was out, but we still get the idea of what a father is. We understand the idea of a son because every one of us is a child, right, of somebody. Maybe those parent-child relationships haven't existed, but even if they don't exist, you have that concept of what it means. And even if it was a sour relationship, you still understand that concept of what it means to be under somebody, to be the son, father, son, and Holy Spirit. When we come to Holy Spirit, this is probably the tough one, right? Because what is that? In the old days, they used to call it Holy Ghost. Actually, a lot of evangelical and Pentecostal churches still refer to the third person of the Holy Trinity as the Holy Ghost. I never liked that word because ghost always just conjured up some very negative images in my head. I like Spirit, Holy Spirit. So what is that Holy Spirit? It's a tough one, yeah, because it is Spirit. When Jesus is talking about being born again, what does he say? The wind blows where it wills, and you know, you do not know where it comes from nor where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He points to that mystery. We don't know where it's going, whether it's coming. We don't know the details of it, but we know we've been touched. We know we've been touched. And I think every one of you can identify with some moment in your life where you just can't, you can't define or you can't explain the circumstances around you. You want to say that it's coincidence. You want to say it's happenstance. You want to say that it's just a freaky thing that happened. But in reality, you know that there's something deeper. I've had several of those in my life. In fact, I'm going through one right now, which hopefully in the next few weeks I'll be able to share with you because it's just happening. And it's a wild thing. You realize that, yeah, it can be coincidence if you want to be blunt about it. Yeah, you can say, yeah, it's coincidence. But how many of these coincidences happen, you know? And then you say, wait a minute, maybe there's something more to it. I was listening to a guy, he's an agnostic, who was writing about different concepts. And he said, you know, the reason why he was an atheist, now agnostic, now actually, an atheist gone to faith, but he's agnostic in that he questions a lot of things. And he said, I can't believe in a God. But he says, I know that there's something else. And he spoke about how his wife's father passed away recently. And in their tradition, you kept the body inside of the house for you because from the Middle East, they usually bury the next day. But because of this COVID situation we have here in the States, we are not able to get out there and bury anytime soon. Actually, one of our friends passed away. She died a week and a half ago. And this is mid-January. The funeral is actually early January. The funeral is going to be February 23rd. Yeah. That's how long of a wait it is now because COVID is taking so many lives that there's no, the funeral directors, the mortuaries, the cemeteries are all backed up. Yeah, it's a reality. It's a reality that's happening. So this man was talking and he said, I don't know what it is. He says, I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in the God that you believe in. But he says, I know that there's something else out there. And my wife's father passed away. And because we couldn't bury him the next day, his body sat in the room for a few days. And it got a little bit musty, smelly. And so he said, my wife opened the windows and a robin flew in. And the robin flew in, circled around the body, and then landed on his head. The wife took a picture of it. It was amazing. The robin didn't fear, didn't run away, didn't fly away, excuse me. And then at its time, the robin picked up and flew away. Interesting. And you know, yeah, you can say it's coincidence. A lot of things like that happen. I remember a year after my mom had died, we were walking through this small little meadow in Armenia. It was just beautiful, beautiful area. And my sister made the comment that, you know, I wish mom was alive to have seen this. And no sooner had she said this, a little butterfly comes and sits on her finger and doesn't move. Doesn't move. I mean, yeah, butterflies are pretty frail. They're not really that friendly. They don't want to get close to something that could take them out. And just came and just sat on her hand, on her finger, and just wouldn't move, wouldn't go away until a few minutes later, just decided to pick up and leave. Now, was that my mom? I don't know if it was my mom. I don't think so. But was it a sign, a symbol? Maybe it was coincidence. You know, I don't know these things. But I'll tell you something. There are cultures in which they will look at that and say it's a sign. I'm part of that culture. I think it is a sign. And there are others who will look at that and say, well, just one of those freak things, you know. You're out there and, you know, a butterfly just sees you and comes and sits on you. And it's all the way you weave the story. Sure, absolutely. I'm not going to fight that there. I'm not going to tell you it's my mom. I'm not going to tell you that it's a symbol or anything. But for me, it was enough to give me a glimmer of hope and to look at that and say, yeah, you know, maybe there are things that I cannot understand. Maybe there are things that go beyond my five senses. I'm really comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that. And I think there's a lot of people who are comfortable with that. We get into the problem when we start looking at that sixth sense in other people and we say, well, that can't be. Why? Why can't it be? Just because they can hear a different drummer and you can't hear that different drummer doesn't make the beats of that drummer any more real or any less real for you, for them. There's a perception. There's the art of perception. Now you get into a little bit more. This is what was his name? Aldous Huxley got into, you know, when he talks about the doors of perception. And then you're able to alter it. And you get into drugs that can alter it. You get into different personality types. And there's a whole assortment of things which start making you understand that people's realities are questionable. And at that point, you start getting into this gray area, which we call religion. And this is where we have some of the biggest problems when people say, well, I'm scientifically based, you know. There's people who want to say that unless it could be measured, it can't be real. And you know what? I'm one of those too. I hope everybody who's listening, we have enough common sense to understand that, you know, we can touch it, we can feel it, we can measure it. And that is something that exists in our own realities. I remember in philosophy class, this was one of the things that would upset me when you'd read into like some of the old philosophers and you get into the Cartesian formula of, you know, I think, therefore I am. I'm thinking about it, I'm realizing it, and therefore I am. Yeah, at some point we can all prove that the chair we're sitting on right now doesn't exist by means of philosophical debate. But in reality, the chair is there. The chair is there. And likewise, for others, that chair is not there. That reality is altered. So it's a very difficult point. It's a difficult position because this is where the realm of religion, of extrasensory perception, beyond the senses. I have certain feelings, and when this whole discussion got on because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, right? There are things that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit, for instance, in Bible, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles, or when Jesus breathes onto the apostles, this is at the end of the book of John, breathes on them, accept the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends on them. And they all have different languages, different means of communication. What happens at that point? Well, it's all the way you want to understand it. And there are people that will take it literally. There are people that will take it metaphorically. And each of them comes to that moment with their own understanding of faith, of being, and who they are. Now, think about that in the terms of what we're going to be talking about consecration of a building such as a church. During the process of consecration, the bishop used holy myrrh. Now, the holy myrrh is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Holy myrrh, the holy oil, which comes to us from the time of Christ. And so basically, every 7 years that it's renewed, and I believe this is the year, I believe 2022 is the seventh year. Yes, that's right. 2015, on the 100th anniversary, was the last time myrrh was consecrated. So if all goes well, myrrh should be consecrated again this year. And the way they do it is they add the old into the new. And what happens, that new batch has now molecules from previous batches, namely from the time of Christ. Now you think about it. Here's a building that's going to receive this holy anointing. It's the same anointing that you received during baptism. Everyone who's baptized in the Armenian Church receives this holy muron, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. You're basically connected with this giant family called the Christian family, that everybody who has been baptized, every stone that has been consecrated with this holy muron, has come alive, and that, because once you've got Christ on you, you can't be dead. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It renews and it gives life. And I'll tell you, the time that this all clicked in my head, because I had read it and understood it in theory as a priest. You know, of course, we go to seminary, we learn it, and we understand it and everything. It's all theory. But the day that it clicked for me was at the funeral service of Father Mesrop Sarafian. This was a priest, a friend, a priest up in the Oakland area, Northern California area. And the reason why I clicked was because at the funeral service, they consecrate the body of a priest with holy muron. And when the bishop consecrated his body and then sang this hymn called Vokchuin, says, "My greetings to you," it was the voice of the one who had passed on from this physical life. And this beautiful mystical experience happened to me. I won't get into the details of that, but I will put on our show notes, I will put a link to that next step. I remember I was very, very moved, and I spoke about it that following week on the next step. This is less than 10 years ago, but I do remember, and it all clicked in my head. I realized the power of that Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Muron in taking the inanimate and making it living. And then it all started to click even more, furthermore, when we would go to Armenia and we'd go through the ruins, especially being in Western Armenia, you'd see the ruins. And each of these churches, for instance, in the city of Ani, the city of 1,001 churches, each church being consecrated with the Holy Muron, those churches may be in ruins, but they're living and they're speaking and they're giving out a message. Let's take a break right now, okay? I'm going to come back and continue on this topic of consecration. For right now, we play a song every day, just every week, and it's mostly to share some beautiful music, but also gives us a little bit of time to digest all that was said. Hope you're digesting a little bit. Here's today's pick.
Cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more? Ooh, the damage done. I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone. But every junkie's like a cell. setting sun.
Short piece by Neil Young, The Needle and the Damage Done. Every junkie's like a setting sun, I guess, means they go down and they come back up. A sad reality of drug addiction, one which we see all too often. A little reminder from Neil Young that there is a lot of damage from these needles. And I played it, interestingly enough, because he surfaced on the news today. He has asked Spotify to remove his entire library, his entire discography off of Spotify. And as you know, Spotify tries to have every album in the world in their collection. And they'll be missing, I guess, Neil Young, because Neil Young wanted to take to make a point about a podcast, Joe Rogan, who is spreading misinformation about vaccination. And so Neil Young just said it's either me or him. If you want to keep him, my collection comes off. And now Spotify, I think, just paid like a couple hundred million to get the Rogan collection. Yeah. I'll say this. Yes, if somebody wants to pay some tidy money, it doesn't have to be a couple hundred million. If you want the whole collection of Next Step, let me know. We'll put it on. I mean, Apple's got it, right? Apple, yes, the largest company in the world, carries the Next Step. Okay, enough publicity. But I wanted to just share that about Neil Young. I thought, when I read that, I thought, good for him. He's putting his money where his mouth is. You want me? You need to get rid of the other one. And at some point, you get to be that big of a deal that you can leverage these kind of moves. I'll put a link on today's show notes to the story itself. For right now, The Needle and the Damage Done, kind of like a play that today, when you're talking about vaccination, it's another type of a needle that hopefully is not about damage, but about strengthening against something that is evil. And whatever way you stand on it, please be safe. Get vaccinated, wear a mask, be safe. We're in some horrible, horrible times.
When you're falling awake and you take stock of the new.
We are talking about consecration. We are also talking about the elements of the consecration, namely the Holy Muon, and more importantly, the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit can transform, how it can change, and in particular, how it can renew. But in that renewal, we see life. Whether that Holy Spirit, and think about this in these terms, right? We use it, the consecration of with Holy Muon, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. We use it on inanimate rocks and cement to consecrate a building, which then becomes a living church, a place where communities come together. But we also use it, as I shared with you a few minutes ago, to consecrate the dead body of a priest, and then having life to be able to say Vochtrinkes, greetings to you. And now take it backwards. I'm taking it completely backwards, right? From the stones to the dead. And now think about new life. What happens? A child is baptized, is born again. And think about this, right? In the womb of the church, when a child comes to this world, it comes from the womb of the mother and comes into a world brand new. And that child now has life in this world. In the same way, in the spiritual world, the child comes out of the water, out of the womb of the church, and there is now a new spirit, born again. And the Holy Muon is placed on that child as a symbol of the Holy Spirit to be renewed in Christ. It's wild. You know, the symbolism is so beautiful. And it takes somebody, and this is why I went through some of the details earlier today in the podcast. It's going to click with other people. Other people are going to say, okay, well, you know, that's nice. That's fine. Don't try to argue this. It's just, it is. It is. Think about when Moses asks God, you know, who are you? What should I tell the people? I am. I don't need to give you no explanation. You know, what was that? Remember the treasures of the Sierra Madre? Badges. We don't need no stinking badges. I don't need to give you no stinking explanation. Well, think about it. It's God, right? So you're either going to believe it or not. Moses says, who are you? I am. I am. That's it. I am. It's not I was. I'm going to be. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be here. I am. It's the same thing when we go through the consecration. It is. This is it. And now all of a sudden, that building becomes a place where people collect. I went through this personally, by the way. I think I may have shared this, but I was the pastor at a community in Cupertino. That Cupertino church today has the name St. Andrew. We consecrated it in the name of St. Andrew. Before that was there, we had a small little house. And it was so difficult to get people to come and understand that that's a church. It was the strangest thing. I would not believe it because I was a young priest. And I was really one of those that said, well, okay, we really don't need to push the church because let's try to build the community. But fortunately, you know, God works in the way he does. And, you know, there were enough people that said, no, Father Voskin, we want to see that building come up. And of course, because of the entire way I've been brought up and my understanding of church, I understood the church to be beyond that building. So it wasn't that I fought it, but it was something that, you know, I understood we needed to make the building. I was excited about it, very excited, but it wasn't something that I would put above the ministry of the church. So we eventually did build that building, a beautiful Armenian architecture, that went through some setbacks. We started building that in 1987. In 1988, there was the Armenian earthquake in Armenia. We had to stop everything so to make collections and send hundreds of thousands of dollars that would have ordinarily gone into this construction. We sent it to Armenia. 1 year later, in 1989, we were again delayed for another year because there was the Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area. Yes, the October 17th, we remember because it was during the World Series between Oakland and San Francisco. And because of that earthquake, we were delayed because the structure wasn't damaged, but the structural engineering codes started to change. Anyway, long story. We finally finished it in 1991 and was consecrated in 1992. I'll tell you. First-hand experience. I remember this specifically. After that building was consecrated, it became a beehive. Yeah, we were a vibrant community, but nothing like what we had after the building. People started coming. They would come for different events. It became a place where people congregated. It became a source and an inspiration for people. In that people came and they understood that they were part of a tradition, a longer tradition than just being someplace that called Cupertino, but that this Cupertino was now connected with something called Holy Etchmiadzin, with the ground zero of Armenian Christian faith. And those of you who've gone through building experiences in communities, you know what I'm talking about. It's a very unusual kind of thing. But that building itself is a draw. I know. I'd be the first one to agree with you when they say, well, the church isn't a building. I agree. Yeah, the church isn't a building. Church is the community of the people. I understand. And I understand all of the thing. But I'll tell you, the church does make a difference. The building does make a difference. Because people need to see something. We are all, we're very tactile. We're very driven by our senses. I remember a gentleman in my parish once, when he passed away, he wanted to be cremated. And his ashes scattered over the ocean. And, you know, it's the man's will. And I know there's people who say they can't do this and everything. Anyway, whatever. It was not my will, but the will of the person who owned that body. And he said, this is the way I want it. And I remember talking to his widow, I'd say maybe about 6-7 months later, we were talking about something. And one of her biggest regrets, it's interesting. Her biggest regret was not that they burnt the body, but that there was no place that she could go. She was deprived of a place to go where she could put a flower, where she could kneel down, where she could pray. Because the ashes were just scattered. And I know, you know what? Like I said, you can go and argue it. You could say, well, she could have gone and stood on a cliff and looked out at the ocean, and the whole ocean is now her cemetery and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. I'm telling you what she told me. And this is a personal experience. And the personal experience is that I didn't have a place. But in saying that, there's a very profound truth in that. I think we all need places. If you watched my video about the consecration, you know, there are places that, you know, are designated. For instance, a stadium. You go there and you watch a football game. You watch a baseball game. You go into an arena and watch a basketball game. Right? This is the place. You do not go into a bank, which has a primary function of exchanging money, right? You do not go into a bank to watch a football game. I mean, where are you going to throw the football? It's that building is not set up for a football game. And neither is the sports arena set up for you to go and do transactions of moving money from this account to that account and so on and so on, which a bank doesn't function. In other words, there are unique buildings that have unique functions, such as a school. Hospital. Hospital's a big one, right? Yeah. You can put a Band-Aid. You can take care of somebody outside in the field. You can do it in your house. But a hospital has unique machinery and function. So too with the church. So too with the church. It is a place. And while you can pray and worship anywhere in the world, a church is a place where the community congregates, and there they have that opportunity to share in that worship and in that prayer life. So during this consecration service that you're going to see this weekend, there'll be a lot of symbolism, including the use of the Holy Miron, and specifically on 16 different areas of the church. And I go through this in the video. Watch it. It's a fun video to watch, but it's basically the 16 corners of the stone are the 16 evangelists, apostles of Christ. The tower or the main dome is held up in the name of the four evangelists. Think about the symbolism of it. Everything is based on the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything is based on the story of Christ. It is the umbrella under which everything functions. That dome is the main umbrella of the church, and holding up that dome are the stories of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So those four pillars are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, of those four, Matthew and John were apostles, so you can take them into the count of the 12, and you have two extras, which would be Luke and Mark, so you're up to 14. Now, of course, Judas was replaced by Matthias, and we take account for this. We have one of the pillars is in the name of Matthias. So you got 14. Now you got two others that are not in there. One of them is the apostle to the Gentiles, namely Saint Paul. So the 15th one is consecrated in the name of Saint Paul. And the final one, the apostle to the Arminians, namely Saint Gregory the Illuminator. So 16 pillars of the church, and it works out beautifully. It's something pleasing to look at, because when you put those 16 points together, what do they make? A cross. The church is in the shape of a cross. The church is the place where Jesus's redemptive act his sacrifice for the world is commemorated and celebrated and becomes a way for us to gain our eternal happiness as part of the kingdom. That's how it works. It's so easy. Yeah, I make it sound easy because it is easy. The church is the cross of Christ. Actually, there's so many cross symbols within the church, including the altar being the head of the cross. So if you were to look, if you're sitting in the church and you look straight directly at the altar, what you're looking at is the head of the cross, and the altar where it stands, the bema or the stage area, that would be the arms of the cross. So every sacrifice, every badarak is commemorated on that cross, the cross of Christ. And it's in this symbolism that we start finding meaning. You see, each of these symbols and each of these stories, each of these moments throughout the consecration help us to understand. You know, a few minutes ago when I played the song of the day, I said, time for us to digest what's been said. There is no easy answer to this. We struggle with these kind of things. Because like I said, a butterfly comes and stands on your finger. Is that your mom? No, it's not your mom. Maybe it is. I don't know. There's traditions that say, yes, reincarnation or anything. I don't know. But it requires me to confront it, to confront that butterfly. Just as the gentleman I spoke about earlier had to confront that robin that came and landed on his father-in-law's face. In death, yeah. What was that? There's so many things like this. And in the same way, when you go through this consecration experience, it's your chance to interact and come up with your understanding of not just the consecration, but how God is touching your life. So I hope that you're going to be joining me. It's going to be 3 days. It starts tomorrow. And if you miss it, it's going to be on the internet. Well, I want to say forever, but we're just assuming the internet is forever. Who knows? It may get canceled next year. But no, it's going to be up on the internet, and I hope that you will take some time to go through it because it's a beautiful, beautiful service, and I'm very honored that I get to add the narration to it. So please enjoy and learn. I want to end today's show with remembrance of a dear friend, one who actually changed much of my life, the direction of my life. That is Vache Mangasarian. He was a comedian in his own right. He was a performer in his own right, an actor. He was in, I think, NCIS. And I remember getting excited when I saw him on a Super Bowl commercial. I think it was for Doritos or something. He's an actor in the Screen Actors Guild. But I got to know him back in the late 1990s, when he had a show in Glendale, a television show, and invited me to be a guest on it. And we hit it off. We had just a great, great conversation. And so he kept on inviting me. He would bring me back on to share with him some thoughts. And this went on for, I'd say, a good year until the time where it came where we started a weekly show. And some of those episodes are still available. You can, on our Armadoxy channel, just look up ANN, I think Armenian National Network it was called. Or I'll put something on today's show notes if I remember. But Vache, probably we were on different ends of the political spectrum. And to tell you the truth, we never talked politics. but he was somebody I admired a lot because he went against the Glendale politics, and there was just a lot of politics there. One day, if you guys can get me to talk, I'll share with you a lot of stuff, which still goes on. It's an old buddy town. It's a small little town that wants to act like it's a big deal. And Vacha paid the price because he spoke out. He eventually lost the show, but we had so many years of good, fruitful relationship, culminating in one day him calling me and telling me, there's a gentleman who wants to see you. He saw you on TV last night, and he wants to give you a building, a church. And it was on that in 2003 that I met a gentleman named Onig Morabian, who gave me the keys to a new church. Unbelievable, right? And it was the church that became the Youth Ministry Center and today functions at as the St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale. Wild ride. Like I told you earlier, you know, I don't believe that there's just coincidences. There's reasons why things happen. I remember going to that church late at night and thinking, okay, he's given us a church, but, you know, I'm doing youth ministry. What am I going to do with this? And then I opened the doors of the church only to see that it's sitting outside of this small little enclave that has three schools in this Glendale School District, namely Hoover High, Toll Middle School, and Keppel Elementary School. So basically, when you pray for a youth ministry, God doesn't take you, you know, to the cemetery. He puts you right in the middle of life, directly across the street from these schools that were populated on, some like one in every four was Armenian. So the youth ministry was just flourished during those years. And I have Vache Mangosarian to thank. He was the one who gave me exposure in the Glendale market. He wasn't scared to go outside of the confines. I didn't play the politics of Glendale, and he wasn't scared to take me on. So I'm forever grateful to him because it did change the course of my life, how we went from youth ministry and now we're going and doing this electronic ministry. It was then the youth ministry that the electronic ministry was born. So in many, many ways, I owe a lot to Vache. At the very least, I want to say, offer my condolences to his family, to his friends, and to all of us. He was a man who had principles. He believed it. He was an anti-vaxxer, from what I understand. And eventually, he succumbed to COVID. So God rest his soul. Another reminder for all of us to take this COVID very, very seriously. And I don't know. Yeah, of course, I feel bad anytime you could avoid death by some simple precautions. But whatever the case, he's gone, and we remember a man of principle, a man who really moved us in a different direction. God rest his soul.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you for all your love, your support, your kind words, the expressions that you send to me, but most of all, thank you for your prayers. Those prayers, you don't know how important they are to anything in life, especially to this ministry. Ministries are built on prayers, really, God's blessings have been manifold in this ministry, and I appreciate all of you praying for this, for the work that we do. This weekend, we will be celebrating the new church in San Diego. Looking forward to hearing what the new name will be, the prerogative of the bishop. He will be naming the church. Everything is scheduled to begin Friday, 3 o'clock, that's Pacific time, in the afternoon, then continuing Saturday at noon and Sunday with the celebration of the first divine liturgy on the newly consecrated altar. So that will be this weekend, 28th, 29th, and 30th. I am scheduled to be doing the English narration. And you can listen to the entire thing. You can follow us. You can be with us. It's going to be on the Western Diocese Facebook page, as well as the Epostle Facebook page. Epostle should be covering it as well. So I will put a link on today's show notes, and all you need to do is just hit it. You don't need to have Facebook, but it will be, we're using Facebook as the as the platform from which we're going to be broadcasting. Like I said, you don't need to be a member of Facebook. All you need to do is click on this link at the right time and you'll be on. If you get it at the wrong time, don't sweat. Don't sweat. Once it gets up there, it will remain over there and you get a chance to watch it later. That's especially for all of you whose times just don't work out with West Coast time. Well, that does it for our time together on this week's Next Step. I want to thank you for joining us and wish you all the best. Like I said, stay safe. These days are wild days. And I look forward to seeing you in February. I guess we're finishing January already. Hard to believe. Listen, if you want to drop me a line, you can do so at feedback@epostle.net. I make sure that I read everything. Can't promise I get back to everybody, but I make sure that I read everything. On behalf of the wonderful team, happens to be my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.